Here we are, our Eco Insider guests in on behalf of WEMIAC, West Michigan Environmental Action Council, hanging out and talking all things water and more. Let's do the introduction, Bill Wood, on behalf of WEMIAC. I hope things are well. Which street are you off of there?
We're over on Lake Drive, corner of Lake and Diamond.
Yes, I love your WEMIAC is on your front windows there, right?
Sure, and that's a great example of what we're going to talk about today is all of us kind of getting together and acting on something that we see as a need in the community.
Great. Let's have you step up to the plate, Daniel O'Keefe. I know since 2007 you've been employed by Michigan State University as a Sea Grant District Extension educator?
Yeah, basically we bring science to the people who need it.
All right, and more on that. You also certainly studied fisheries and wildlife from MSU, and your district, what, seven coastal counties on southern Lake Michigan?
Yeah, from about Ludington down to the state line.
Like what you do?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Let's talk on the radio. Jeff Siever, tell us a little bit about you. Owner of a marketing and design company, of course, an avocational historian who focuses on the Grand River Valley. Good morning to you.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I've done a lot of study of the history of the Grand River along the stretch that we'll be talking about, and lots of paddling, so I'm very involved in that area.
It's nice that we are starting to do more paddling in our own backyard. Bill Wood, let's talk about the conversation that you would like to have today. What's the big picture here?
Of course. So a lot of the listeners may have heard about the proposed Grand River Waterway Project, which is the idea that the Grand River is not accessible for deep-keel power boaters, people that might want to come up from Lake Michigan all the way up to Grand Rapids. This idea has been kicked around for a while, and I know it's the idea of dredging the river has been out there for over 100 years. Jeff's going to talk about that in a little bit. But in this particular case, WEMIAC was kind of keeping an eye on the proposal to see if it was going to go anywhere. We actually started looking at it really closely back in the summer of 2017. And I got to be honest, we didn't think it was going to get much traction. Fortunately, it was Jeff Siever's group that really brought to our attention that, hey, this thing might be going somewhere. And a preliminary look at some of the science behind what might happen to the river and the watershed, which we'll let Dan explain a little bit here too, we really started to form some opposition to it internally. And so when Jeff contacted us and said, hey, I've got this whole big group of people, super diverse interests all across the board, and kind of looking for a place to get together and have a meeting and talk about what we can do about this, then WEMIAC opened the doors. And as I said in the intro, this is a really good example of local people, citizens getting together and saying, hey, there's a need in the community we see. Let's find a way to meet that need.
Thank you for that. All right, Jeff, let's begin with you. Expand, if you would, about the topic of this Grand River Waterway Project.
Sure. Well, when I first learned about the project and that funding had gone through in the lame duck session of the legislature in December, so that it was essentially fully funded, that set off the alarm bells for me. So I went talking to many other people, elected officials, riverfront property owners, environmental organizations, and so forth. And people instantly kind of came out of the woodwork concerned about this, opposed to this, and ready to actively work on it. And since then, for instance, many of the local governments in Ottawa County and in Kent County have passed formal resolutions opposing this. They recognize all of the potential harms.
Add to that, if you would, Dan, regarding the Grand River Waterway Project.
Well, it is a plan to really level the bottom along 23 miles of the Grand River from Fulton Street here in Grand Rapids all the way down to Bass River. And as people have already mentioned, small boats and kayaks and canoes can already navigate this. Fishing boats are out there daily. Even the Grand Lady, the river boat, it regularly navigates this stretch of water. So this is specifically for large boats, 26 to 49 feet long. And again, it's leveling the bottom of the river, which removes habitat, not necessarily along the entire 23 miles, but it would create a continuous channel 7 feet deep from the average water mark along this entire corridor, which would require the removal of 50 acres of shallow habitat.
How does then dredging, because that's what we're talking about, right? Tell me more about the impact to the river environment with this.
So it goes beyond just even dredging a small area. You might picture for a harbor or marina expansion, because it's creating this continuous corridor along the river, it's really destroying these shallow riffle habitats. And if you look at river habitats, the shallow areas are called riffles and the deeper areas are called pools. But when you break through all the riffles, you also make the pools shallower. So you make everything more homogeneous, more the same, which is exactly the opposite of what we need for good, thriving, diverse river communities. And the riffles in particular, the hard bottom riffles, are really important for sensitive mussel species. We have some state threatened mussel species out there that are right in the path of dredging, and some state threatened fish, one of which uses these shallow riffles that will be dredged through for spawning. So it could impact a lot of the fishing, a lot of the quality game fish like steelhead, walleye, bass. They all really key in on these riffles because that's where most of their food is as well. And the pools, which would also be impacted, those are the areas they rest in. So it makes everything kind of a straight channel, which is really not good for the river.
Jeff, I don't think this is the first time someone has actually proposed or attempted to dredge the Grand River.
No, actually, dredging goes back to the late 1800s, back when steamboats plied the river all the way to Grand Haven. Historically, it's been a shallow river, and the dredging that took place then was, I would say, not all that successful. And in fact, a lot of people don't know that literally miles and miles and miles of wooden piles, essentially tree trunks, were driven into the river bottom to create walls to try to hold the sediment back. And the sediment that was dredged was piled on the backside of those walls. And part of the current dredging plan would go through those walls and potentially release all of this historic sediment that's being held back, which is one of the huge issues involved in this proposal.
How much would this cost, and who would pay for it?
The estimate for the initial dredging is $3 million, which a lot of us think is an underestimate. But that is fully funded at this point by the Michigan legislature. What hasn't been taken into account at all is the ongoing annual dredging cost, as well as other costs such as law enforcement. For instance, the Ottawa County Sheriff's Department has indicated hundreds of thousands of dollars in new boats, in seasonal deputies to do marine patrol, buoys that would need to be purchased, seasonally installed and removed, all of the storage for about 600 buoys. There are lots of hidden costs that no one has accounted for.
And again, Daniel, with your district, has this been done on other rivers, or is this something?
Oh, yes, a lot of rivers down south in particular have been impacted by this kind of channelization. Again, this kind of river modification goes beyond a small-scale dredging and really creates a channel. So this has been done in a lot of places. We've seen declines in the insects that live on the bottom of the river and provide fish food, up to 90% loss of insects. In Indiana streams, streams that have been channelized have lost half of their sensitive fish species. There's just a long list of studies out there of other systems that have been really impacted by this. And some, you know, we go beyond just the channelization. You talk about the boat wakes. If we do get these really large vessels, yes. Right now we have high water. I'm in Spring Lake and we see all the erosion going on when these waves crash up over the seawalls during high water. Those waves in a natural river environment, waves from a boat, are more than 100 times more powerful than the natural waves created in the river. And this means more erosion. And that sediment winds up getting washed into the river and downstream. And what's downstream of the project area? Well, communities like Grand Haven and Spring Lake, which are already dealing with trying to keep their harbor open and already have water quality issues from all the sediment already coming down the river.
You're not sleeping at night, are you? Jeff, where do Friends of the Lower Grand River come into play here?
Well, because it's such a diverse group, again, of elected officials, university professors, environmental groups, and so forth, we've all banded together to work with local governments, other organizations, property owners, to form kind of a united, organized resistance to hopefully put an end to this proposal before it even moves forward.
Do you open up Friends of the Lower Grand River to those who want to be involved?
Yes, most definitely. People can visit friendsofthelowergrandriver.org, and there's a lot of information there about the dredging project, as well as the opportunity to find us on Facebook, shoot us an email, and so forth.
Bringing you back into the conversation, Bill Wood from WEMIAC. I know we've talked to you and yours regarding Grand Rapids Whitewater, the rapid restoration. How does the Grand River Water Project differ here?
Thanks for asking that question. So it's really important to point out, because I think that there's a lot of public confusion conflating the two projects. And we probably still get about a call a week asking why WEMIAC supports dredging the river, because we have come out. Initially, we were opposed to the Grand Rapids Whitewater Project until they kind of fell into line regarding some of the threatened and endangered species, making sure that there was a good involvement of the public with regard to how the riverfront was going to look. So really, you know, kind of holding the feet to the fire on that project until they came around and made it a more accessible and publicly involved project. In the case of the Grand River Waterway, we really haven't seen much of an effort from anybody involved to, listen to the complaints or tailor this to maybe what the public's concern is. So really important to differentiate. These are not the same projects. There's not the same funding mechanisms involved. And as far as the support goes, we're really interested to see what happens when the rapids get put in. WEMIAC thinks as long as it's done right, it's going to end up being a pretty positive thing for the city of Grand Rapids and West Michigan. And with regard to the dredging project, they're two very distinct projects with different funders, different support, and very different levels of support.
What do you leave us with, Dan O'Keefe?
Well, one thing that comes to mind is that the state put together a wildlife action plan and has a whole focal area on big rivers. And it calls out, first and foremost, channelization is a huge threat to large rivers. So, you know, working for MSU Extension and Michigan Sea Grant, we realize that there's a balance between the environmental impacts that we are willing to accept and then the economic benefits. But we have to really look at this kind of project and say, who's really going to benefit and how much? And is there really a need for this? And at all the public meetings I've been to, we have not heard any large boating enthusiasts come out in favor of this project. Rather, we've heard from a lot of paddlers, a lot of people who hike along the river, a lot of people who are concerned about the water quality downstream and erosion. So it just doesn't seem to be like a big outcry to see this happen.
How do we find out more information about your work with Michigan State?
I did produce a couple of articles that are online. If you look up my name, Dan O'Keefe and MSU Extension, and the Grand River, you should find a couple of items, a literature search that has, I don't know, about 40 different scientific papers from around the world that kind of back up how this kind of project impacts rivers.
Nice. Well, kudos to you. Your PhD in wildlife and fisheries and doing great things with your research and your work. Your concluding statements, Jeff Seaver?
I think it's just worth noting, with near unanimous opposition to this project from local governments and property owners and so forth, really the driving force behind this is a commercial property developer who would like to monetize his property. So that's why we're here having this discussion, because of that one person promoting the project.
How does one find out more information about your work, Jeff Seaver?
Again, they can visit friendsofthelowergrandriver.org, and there they'll also find links to Dan O'Keefe's articles.
And Bill Wood, WEMIAC, how do we find out more about WEMIAC?
As always, you can visit us at www.wmeac.org, and we are over there at 1007 Lake Drive, 9 to 5, except I think we're going to be closing a little early today because it's a beautiful day out there.
Get out and enjoy our environment. Thank you, gentlemen, Dan, Bill, and Jeff, for this conversation on behalf of our Eco Insider.